You're listening to FBC Radio on 16.9.
Welcome to FBC Radio on this Mother's Day, 22nd of March, 2020. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whoever you are with this morning, may the Lord truly bless you. Now, because we are in different locations, on the count of three, let's wave our hands in the air and shout to everyone listening, "Good morning, virtual church." Okay, so after three, one, two, three. Good morning, virtual church. Now, I wonder how many of you actually did what I asked. Some of you would have done so, I guess, and would have done so with great enthusiasm, possibly even jumping up in the air as you waved. Others of you may have waved, but did so with a sense of apprehension, perhaps looking around to see if anybody was watching you. And there will be others who dogmatically refused to raise their hands, declaring it to be a ridiculous and pointless exercise. What on earth is Glyn asking me to do this for? I'm in a room, nobody else can see me. Why should I wave my hands and shout out into a computer screen or into a phone and nobody can hear me? Now, none of us are right or wrong in how we responded. We are all just different. Different people, different personalities, and as a result, we do things differently. And that not only applies to waving hands when asked, but also when it comes to responding to the present situation that our nation and our world is experiencing because of coronavirus. Some of us are able to deal with the change that it's bringing confidently, whilst others are feeling very uncomfortable and apprehensive. Some of us are maintaining a very positive outlook, carrying on with our lives as best that we can, whilst others are experiencing far more negative emotions, scared and worried about what will happen next. And we need to recognise that we are different, and we need to pray for one another within that difference. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 12:15, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn." And that suggests to me that our lives are meant to connect with one another so closely that we share in each other's joys and sorrows. And in doing so, we provide one another with strength and support when we're struggling. And we also encourage one another by acknowledging and sharing in the things that are bringing joyful expression. The challenge comes when we are feeling joyful and we're called to mourn with those who are not. Or we're feeling mournful and we are being encouraged to rejoice with those who are experiencing something wonderful. And therefore, in order for us to be who God wants us to be for each other, we need to all be in tune with the one who is seeking to build his church into a loving and caring community. And so today, in this very strange new way of gathering, let us pray together for each other. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that your love for us is not limited or affected by time or space. Lord, you say, "Where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." And right now, Lord, we are gathered together in your name, not in one common location, but we're gathered in your name in many places. Some of us are with family. Some of us are on our own. Some of us are feeling physically fine. Some of us are feeling unwell. Some of us are dealing well with the current situation. Some of us are not. Lord, in all of our different locations where we are experiencing different emotions, manifesting different actions and reactions, I ask that we may share a common experience this morning. That we will sense your presence, that we will receive your peace, and within these uncertain days, we will find comfort and support from one another, and from your promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us, but will be an ever-present help in times of trouble. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's say together the traditional version of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Okay, it's time for family news. Has anyone got any family news they want to share? Well, I can't hear you, which is a shame, because you might have something that you would like to share with the church, and that might be the case every week. So here's what we're going to do. I've got two challenges for you. If you've got something you would like to say to the church in next week's broadcast, then you can do it in a couple of ways. Either email me the details, email glyn.thomas@fbc.org.uk, and either I or someone else will read out your notice next week. Or you can ring me on the office phone number and either tell me the message, or better still, let me record your voice telling me the message, and then I can use your voice on this stream next week giving the notice. Or thirdly, if you have the technical ability to record your own voice message for me on your iPhone or computer or iPad and then send it to me, that would be great, especially if you'll let me stream that message next week. And so if you've got a church notice or a short testimony you want to share about something that you want to thank God about, or if you'd like to lead us in a prayer over the phone that I could record, or you'd like to contribute something for the broadcast next week, then please get in touch with me or the office any weekday morning this week, and we'll try and arrange it. And I've got a second challenge for you, and that is the fact that we can't stream any music at the moment on this broadcast, which is a shame. All I can play is some general background music, which is copyright free. But the CCLI have now made available a streaming license that we can purchase that will allow us to stream any of the songs in their database, as long as we are the ones who are doing the singing and the playing. So that, of course, poses a problem, because as we're not meeting together, the music bands are not singing and playing together, and therefore we can't record them in order to use the music on this stream. So I'm putting out this challenge to the music and techie people of Frimley Baptist Church. I will buy the license if you can provide some musical material that is suitable for me to stream on this broadcast on a Sunday. Okay, so a couple more notices. This service is being broadcast at 10:30 on Sunday morning, but we hope to be able to make it available to listen to again anytime during the week on FBC Radio. So look out for the button to listen again, and you'll find that on the FBC Radio link that you would have used to access this broadcast. Also, in the sermon that I'm going to share in a few moments, I'm referring to the words of three songs. And if you want to listen to those songs, then I've put a link to them on the homepage of the church website, fbc.org.uk. And lastly, this service will also be uploaded to the usual sermons page on the church website sometime tomorrow, where there'll also be a PowerPoint to go along with the sermon that you can download. And in the PowerPoint, it will have a link to the YouTube songs embedded in the PowerPoint, so you can click on them in order to listen to the songs. And so that's the end of my notices. Now, I don't think there is much point in me taking the offering for the Remember the Poor Fund at this point, because I will have to travel quite a distance to visit every one of you to collect that donation. But obviously, if you want to make a contribution to the Remember the Poor Fund whilst we're not gathering together, you can post it to the church marked as RTP, or you can send money directly to the church bank, again, marked RTP. Over the last couple of weeks, some members of the Baptist Union team have been leading some prayer evenings online, and you may have seen that posted on the church Facebook page. Both of the prayer events can be seen on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and type the words Baptist Union GB and click on the videos, you can see them both along with other videos that the Baptist Union have made. The last one was on Thursday, in which the General Secretary of the BU, Lynn Green, and the Vice President, who is the President-elect, Yinka Oyikan, both led a prayer gathering, and I thought it would be helpful to play Yinka's prayer as part of this broadcast. So let's pray together.
Lord, on this day of prayer, in the darkness, we affirm that you are the light. In the storm, O God, we affirm that you are our anchor. And Lord, there are many people going through a storm right now. Please, Father, let them be aware that you are the anchor. And those who don't know you, Father, will you put Christians alongside them in special ways, in whether it's through phone calls and online, that can be a source of comfort. In our weakness, you're our strength. In our grief, you are our comfort. And we pray particularly, Lord, for, Lord, those who do not know you, who are losing loved ones. And Lord, for us who do know you, we're perhaps comforted in part by the fact that maybe our loved ones are saved, but we face the same grief and the same pain. Father, in our grief, you are our comfort. Send your Holy Spirit to be a light in our hearts and in our lives, an illumination, Lord, that we might see past this moment of pain. In our despair, you're our hope. In our confusion, you provide the wisdom we need. In our time, Lord, of anxiety because of this horrible virus, you are our shield. We put our trust in you. And so, Father, Lord, many have described this almost like a war, and many have described this in various ways. But Lord, in it all, we look to you for peace. Lord, you've blessed us in years past, in seasons past. And so rightly, we were able to sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wreck like me. Father, will you save us again? And Father, we pray for your church, who will be so frustrated because she wants to go out and hug the broken and love those who are destitute and comfort those who are mourning. But Father, we're stuck in. Nevertheless, Lord, will you send your fire? Because if you send your fire, if you send your Holy Spirit upon your church, we will find ways, even though we're locked inside our buildings, even though we're locked inside our homes, you will show us, you'll give us the wisdom we need to connect with people in modern and new ways. And so we pray for your church, Lord, that as she has done in centuries past, looking after the weakest in society, that, Father, she will once more bring glory to your name. And that, Lord, in it all, we would recognize it's because you sent your Spirit afresh upon us. None of the things that we do are possible, really, to the extent that we would love them to make a difference, except if you send your Spirit. And so, Lord, we pray for the doctors and nurses. We pray for the policemen who are going to have to enforce some of these laws that are coming in. We pray for the soldiers. My son was saying there's soldiers all over the streets at the moment where he is in London. And Lord, these things bring anxiety and worry and stress. Father, we pray, Lord, for all those who are on the front line, that you would bless them and help them. And for those who are Christians on the front line, Lord, may they be a light, and Father, may they be a source of peace, because you anoint them afresh in this difficult time. And so, Father, I want to thank you, Lord, that there are many churches, many of our community, many believers and many denominations at this point all trying to work out how to be a loving light in the darkness. Father, will you give us all wisdom? Will you help us all to be full of your Holy Spirit, to receive the fire of your Spirit in this dark time, and to shine brightly for Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to look at God's word together now, and we're going to read from Psalm 27 today. You might like to have a Bible ready to follow through the sermon, and maybe a notebook or a piece of paper to make some notes while I'm speaking. So whilst you go and look for those things, we'll have a short musical interlude. So our reading is from Psalm 27, and Stephen is going to read it to us, and he's reading from the English Standard Version.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
With churches now having to shut down their services because of coronavirus, ministers all around the country are having to consider how they're going to manage their pastoral responsibilities, and also how they're going to continue to communicate messages of encouragement from God's word to those who are no longer gathering together. And of course, once that method of communication is sorted, they then have to reflect on what it is that they're actually going to say. I'm a member of an online community of Baptist ministers, and this week one of them suggested, albeit tongue-in-cheek, that we should preach from James chapter 4, verse 8, which says, "Wash your hands, you sinners," which I thought was quite funny. And it got me thinking about what would be appropriate themes for us as a church to consider over the coming weeks whilst we're not able to gather together. We could stay with the preaching theme that I had already put in place until August under the subject of Galilean grace, looking at some of the ways Jesus connected with his community in Galilee. Could do that. Or maybe, instead, we could focus on some pastorally supportive themes that are appropriate to those who are social distancing or self-isolating. Themes like trust and hope and fear and peace and the ever-faithful presence of God in times of trouble. Or maybe, thinking a little bit more off the wall, perhaps because the word corona is the beginning of the word coronation, maybe we could do a series on some of the kings in the Bible who, just like this virus, had a significantly negative effect on their nation. We could call the series The Corona Nation of the King. And we could stay in this atmosphere of doom and gloom by following a series of all the Bible texts that speak about pestilence, or maybe even a 10-week study on the plagues of Egypt as recorded in Exodus under the series title Coming Soon to a Town Near You. Or maybe on a more positive note, we could deliver an 11-week series using each of the letters of the word coronavirus to highlight 11 spiritual things that God wants us to pass on to others. Maybe call the series Reflecting on Infecting the Nation for Jesus. What do you think? Do any of those options appeal to you? Well, today we're sticking with the theme that was planned many months ago before there was any mention of coronavirus. Today I plan to end the series we've been looking at over the last few weeks about King David. And in the series we've been looking at incidences in David's life where he wrote a psalm that we find in the Bible, and by looking at the psalm we can get an understanding of how David may have been thinking as he was going through particular challenges in his life. And while Psalm 27 that we're looking at today isn't related to a particular incident in the life of David, it does in a sense summarise what we've been looking at in this series. And so therefore it seemed an appropriate psalm to look at the end. And maybe in the light of the situation that we're all facing at the moment, these psalms that we've been considering may be even more appropriate than before, as we find ourselves identifying with the idea of something pursuing us that is seeking to bring us harm, and the need for us to maintain a right and godly response to it and to our relationship with God. Psalm 27 starts with these words: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" The Lord is my light. That's an interesting phrase, because light is associated with quite a number of things in the Bible and in life in general. Light is not only that which helps us to see things around us, but light is linked with guidance. God's word is referred to in Psalm 119 as being a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, as it helps to show us the way that God is instructing his people to walk. Light is also linked with revealing things. We talk about that which has been hidden now coming to light. It's been brought out into the open. It's now clearly seen. Light is linked with understanding. We talk about shedding light on a matter that was previously confusing, but now it's clearer. Light is linked with finding hope. For example, we speak about there being light at the end of a tunnel, something to aim at, a vision of hope up ahead. Light is also linked with the spiritual condition of man, that we are in spiritual darkness from which Jesus has come to set us free, because he is the light of the world who stepped down into darkness. So when we read about the Lord being our light, it can mean that he is our guide. He gives us understanding. He reveals what is hidden. He brings hope within times of darkness. And he brings us out of spiritual darkness through a personal relationship with Jesus. The Lord is David's light. Is he our light? Do we find security and hope in times of darkness because God is our light? Is God's word a light to our feet, a lamp to our path? How much relevance does God's word play within our life? And especially right now, whilst many of us will find ourselves isolated from others and unable to do many of the things that used to be part of our usual daily pattern, maybe now we have more time to read God's word. But will we? Maybe we used to find it hard to find time to study God's word or to read spiritual books that we have bought or have been bought for us because we were too busy. But what about now? Now that things are changing in regard to what we do and how we do it, where will God's word fit into all this? Will we become more drawn to what God says in his word? David says later in this psalm in verse 11, "Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors." As David encounters his various trials, David wants to learn more about what the Lord is thinking. He doesn't want to be so consumed by physical and emotional storms in his life that he feels like he's drowning, but instead he wants to have a foundation of hope and trust in God so that when he encounters dark situations, he listens to what God says so he may be encouraged and not afraid of what is oppressing him. Notice again what he says in verse 11, "Teach me your ways, O Lord, lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors." David needs to focus on what God says so that he will be led in a straight path, because he knows that his oppressors and his focusing on his oppressors will cause him to stray away into all kinds of different directions. David wants to be a teachable student who stays on the right straight road. And with that in mind, it may be good to reflect on how teachable we are. Do we start with what we believe and then try and make God's word fit in with it? Or do we start with what God says and then we allow our minds and actions to be changed, to be brought into line with what God says? Are we happy as we are? Or do we desire to become what God wants us to be? Do we want him to be our light? Do we want him to be our guide? Do we want him to be the centre of our life? Jesus, be the centre. Be my source. Be my light. Jesus, be the centre. Be my hope. Be my song. Be the fire in my heart. Be the wind in these sails. Be the reason that I live. Jesus. The Lord is my light. David also says the Lord is my salvation. There's a picture here of rescue. David is acknowledging that God saves him. God rescues him from an enemy that seeks to destroy him. In verses 2 to 3 of Psalm 27, David says, "When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war breaks out against me, even then I will be confident." The Bible teacher Warren Wiersbe suggests that these verses present us with three different types of enemy attacks, all of which I think could relate to the disruption that this virus is causing in the lives of different people. Wiersbe says, first of all, there's the sudden attack. David says, "The wicked advance against me to devour me." Wiersbe describes this as being something that was unexpected. It's a sudden attack. And that might be, for example, an unexpected death of a loved one, an accident at work or on the road while travelling, a flash flood, a sudden redundancy, suddenly finding you've been infected with a virus. It's a sudden attack. And then Wiersbe says that there's also here a settled battle. Verse 3, it says, "Though an army besiege me." Wiersbe says that this is something that you know about and often think about because it's looming over you, and you know that it will have some consequence upon your life in the immediate future. So a settled battle could be things like a long-standing conflict with someone that is still not resolved. It could be a forthcoming event that you know will not be easy to handle. It could be spiralling debt that you know you can't manage and it's going to end in crisis very soon. It could be receiving an eviction order or a court summons with a set date. It could be having to self-isolate because you may have contracted the virus and you may start showing symptoms any day now. You may have an enemy camped at your home, says Warren Wiersbe, or your office, or your church. Somewhere in your life, an enemy has probably settled. And I think that may be how some of us are viewing the current situation in our nation. We're being besieged, surrounded by an enemy on every side. And then Wiersbe suggests a third form of attack here is a sustained war, day after day. David says, "Though war break out against me." He says this relates to something that you experience every day, something that you battle with on a daily basis. This could be marital conflict, unemployment, homelessness, medical treatment for a serious illness. It could be physical limitation due to age or illness. It could include now perhaps having to work from home, or if you're over 70, being told you'll have to remain socially distanced from others for 4 months. A sustained war day after day, something you've got to battle with on a daily basis. David may have seen his experience as being a sudden attack, a settled battle, or a sustained war. And we might feel that in one way or another, we are encountering a similar thing in our life. And maybe we would see that because of the measures being put into place by our government and healthcare advisors in regards to this virus. But I want us to note what David said about his situation. He did talk to God about the negative aspect of this conflict, but listen again to what he says in verses 2 to 3. Note that David is speaking positively within the battle. He says, "When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall." He says, "Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear." And he says, "Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident." David is balancing his situation by acknowledging that he is going through tough times, but he will not fear because of it. He will remain confident in it. Why? Because the Lord is his light and his salvation. God is there with him, seeing him through. David's confidence is not in his own ability to fix things, because he knows he can't. David's confidence is in God's ability to fix things, because he knows he can. And if David can feel that way when he was being oppressed and threatened, so can we. And if David was able to find a confidence and a hope in God in all of these different types of battles that he was engaged in, so can we. If we ground our faith in a God who doesn't change during circumstances that do. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Son of God, Son of Man, Lamb that was slain. Joy and peace, strength and hope, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Rescued my soul, my stronghold lifts me from shame. Forgiveness, security, power and love, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Rescued my soul, my stronghold. Even if God had chosen not to intervene, David knew that God will give him the strength to stand up under the pressure. And I think that's what he conveys in the rest of the words of verse 1 of Psalm 27. He says, "God is my light, God is my salvation," and then he says, "The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid?" What's a stronghold? Well, stronghold is a defensive structure. It's a well-fortified place. It's a fortress. It's something that is strongly defended. It's a place of safety. And that's how David considered God to be. He's a safe place from that which would attack him. Other versions of the Bible use a different word than stronghold. The New Living Translation says, "The Lord protects me from danger." The New American Standard Bible says, "He is my defense." And the Authorized Version says, "The Lord is the strength of my life." David knows God is his protector, his defender, and his strength. When David faced trials, he found strength from the Lord to carry on. And this is something that hundreds of years later, Jesus also experienced. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he prepared for the moment when he would be arrested and crucified, Luke's Gospel says that Jesus prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." And then in Luke 22:43, it says, "An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him." If Jesus needed to find strength from above, how much more do we? The Apostle Paul, in his letter to Timothy, possibly the last letter he ever wrote before he died, Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:16, "At my first defence, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength." Paul encountered physical limitation, loneliness and rejection, and threat to his life, but he was able to draw comfort from the fact that God did not desert him. God was his stronghold, his defence, his protection. And this strength from above is available at all times to all those who ask. And that includes us. And that can be experienced today if we ask him. And it may be that we are absolutely fine mentally, spiritually and physically. And if that's the case, then that is wonderful and it's to be treasured. But it may be that we are not mentally, spiritually and physically well. And if that's the case, then this psalm encourages us to do what David did and find strength in the Lord by seeing him as our light, our salvation and our stronghold. Because this was David's experience, he wanted to be in the presence of God at all times. So he says in verses 4 to 5, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling." David was thinking about the tabernacle where God's presence on earth was residing and how he longed to be there all his life because it was a safe place in troubled times. And hundreds of years later, Jesus came into the world to call people to come to him, for he was God's presence on earth and he wanted people to see him as being their stronghold, their safe place in the day of trouble. So Jesus told his disciples in John 16, on the night before he was betrayed, he said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus said, "You will have difficult days," but he was their stronghold. He has overcome the world. So that makes him the strongest power at work. And therefore, to find safety in Jesus places you in the best place possible during that troubled time. And earlier, Jesus had said to his disciples in John 14, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." David wanted to be where God was on earth, so he longed to be in the physical place where the tabernacle resided. But now the focus is not on a place, but it's on a person. Not on a tabernacle made of cloth or a temple made out of stone, but through a relationship with the risen Jesus, who by his Spirit is in all those who love Jesus, all the time, in all places. Right now, as Frimley Baptist Church, we cannot gather in our brick building. But that doesn't mean that God is not with us. On the contrary, God is with us in our separate homes and is in each of us by his Spirit. And that means right now we may know his peace, even though we are experiencing a day of trouble. Just in closing, as David pondered the idea of being with the Lord all the time, he said in verse 5, "He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord." David sang songs of joy while still surrounded by his enemy. His situation hadn't changed, but he had changed within his situation because he had found peace and security and joy because he knew the Lord was his light, the Lord was his salvation, and the Lord was his stronghold. So after praying some more to God, he ends this psalm saying, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. And I trust as we wait on the Lord, wherever we are, that we too may find the Lord to be our strength. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God, you do not faint. You won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on the wings like eagles. From everlasting to everlasting God, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, right now, in the place where we are, thank you for being with us. Lord, right now, amidst all of our fears, we trust in you and ask you for your peace to rest in us. Lord, right now, in all the things we don't know and don't understand about our current situation, we give it all to you, for you know all things. Lord, right now, in all of the uncertainty of the future, we place ourselves into your hands, for you know the future. Lord, right now, hear our prayer and have mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a moment of quiet prayer to bring our own words to the Lord. As David prayed, hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. In Jesus' name. Amen. And that brings us to the end of this broadcast. Don't forget to visit the church website to view the songs mentioned in this broadcast and to get in touch this week if there's anything that you'd like to contribute to next week's service. And I'm going to close with Paul's prayer for the church as recorded in Ephesians 3. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all of the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.
You've been listening to FBC Radio on 16.9.